I'd invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. If you would like to read along in your pew Bible, it's on page 684. And we are reading Matthew 5, 38 to 48, if you have an app on your phone you'd like to follow along with. The gospel according to Matthew. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, the one who was, the one still to come. Amen. I really want to like the Sermon on the Mount. It's a really well-known piece of scripture. It's quoted frequently, and people seem to really like it. I'm not quite there yet, in all honesty. And it's got that great start with the Beatitudes, the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. This is all stuff that I can agree with and I really want to hear in a gospel reading. Then over the past couple weeks, as we've come to realize, things seem to escalate rather quickly in the Sermon on the Mount. We hear about murder and judgment and adultery and divorce. And I find myself becoming increasingly more uncomfortable with the Sermon on the Mount. And I imagine myself standing in a crowd or sitting in a pew and hearing this sermon for the first time and wondering, where is this preacher going with this sermon? And perhaps you are thinking the same thing this morning as you're listening to me preach. And today we get, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And then here's the real kicker. Be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Thanks for that, Jesus. Thanks for setting some pretty lofty goals for us to attain. Now, the collected words of the Sermon on the Mount don't end there, but thankfully for us, this is where we take a breather this week. And I wonder what these words really mean to us today. Blessed are the pacifists? Well, we know that that's not how our world works. We live in a world that when someone strikes you on the cheek, you go on a Twitter rant in the middle of the night. Or my personal favorite, if someone says something bad about you on social media, you always have the option to unfriend them on Facebook. If we disagree with someone, we can block them out of our lives, virtually, figuratively, and literally. We don't have to deal with them anymore. We can burn bridges and create fractures in relationships at unprecedented rates these days and not have to think about the consequences until it's way too late. We also create these bubbles where we only see and hear the things we want to see and hear. And we're given ample opportunities to engage with the other. But why would we when all of our wants and our needs are satisfied by hanging out with the people we like to hang out with? I wonder, have we turned loving your neighbor into loving those who only think and act the same way that we do? Jesus is not only calling us to do better than that, Jesus is calling us to be perfect. Now, perfection here is a little different than what we understand perfection is this day. Perfection here in this biblical sense is an act of growing into maturity. It's a process of continually acknowledging God's endless love and grace and forgiveness for all of God's beloved children, even the ones we don't like, and reflecting that love and grace and forgiveness back out into the world. And yes, there are people in this world who wish to do harm to others. That is a sad reality that we live in. But we are called to take a more passive and a more loving route to reaching them in hopes that those people who wish to do harm will eventually join us in that process of perfection by transformation of work of the Spirit. Long story, short version, this is one of those when they go low, we go high kind of situations. And oddly, even though we hear this time and time again, and we've heard it throughout the centuries, this idea of loving the neighbor is as radical today as it was in the ancient world. And in the ancient world, there were laws, the Lex Talionis laws, that were laws of retaliation that allowed people, if someone knocked you in the eye, you could knock them in the eye back. It was the way that the world worked. It was how things were kept orderly. And truth be told, sometimes it feels like we haven't really gone or come that far in terms of civilization. Because it's easier to be angry. It's easier to see the faults in others and to point fingers. Even our good old beloved saint and light, Martin Luther, when talking about this task that we are charged with, he said that the word is too high and too hard that anyone should fulfill it. However, in this month of Black history, I think the words of Desmond Tutu are just as important, if not more so, regarding this text. He says, "When we see others as the enemy, we risk becoming what we hate. When we oppress others, we end up oppressing ourselves. All of our humanity is dependent on recognizing the humanity in others." That is the work of perfection that we are called to. And if we look at these verses from the Sermon on the Mount simply as rules to follow, I think we're missing the bigger picture. I think we're missing a really key point, that this living into perfection piece is, it's all about trying to understand the kingdom of God, a kingdom that clearly operates different than the world we live in. And I think I know why I have such a problem with this text, because it's asking all of us, myself included, to take a long, hard look in the mirror. And when we look in that mirror, we might not like what we see reflecting back. We might see anger and resentment and fear and sadness, all of those things that can fester inside of us and create fractures in relationships. I'm all good with loving the neighbor. I get that. But what if the neighbor is also our enemy? What if that neighbor is someone who has struck my cheek or has said horrible things about me or who has persecuted me? I'm supposed to pray for that person? Not only that, I'm supposed to love that person? According to Jesus, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Jesus is calling us into these relationships with those we'd rather not have anything to do with, the people that we'd rather not see or hear from ever again in our lives. Can you think of anyone like that in your life? I've got a few on the list. Caring for that person is easier said than done. This is really radical stuff in this day and age. We're not a country of pacifists and lovers, but we could be. And sometimes even small steps towards peace and away from violence help us kind of break open another little piece of the kingdom in this world and help us to understand that that compassion really does have more power than anger. Several years ago, I was living at Holden Village. It's a Lutheran retreat center up in Washington State. It's incredibly remote, and I'll tell you all about it maybe another time, but this particular story, groups go to Holden Village for retreats and for a time of Sabbath and hiking and all kinds of good stuff. And there was one summer when a rather large group of teenage boys came on a church retreat. Imagine four massive school buses pulling into a peaceful village, and I don't even know how many, 13-year-old boys literally erupt off of the school buses. Needless to say, the peaceful village became something wholly other. But that's not unusual for large crowds of boys. They were kind of doing their thing. Program went on as usual. We had lunch, we had dinner, we had evening prayer and lots of ice cream. And the next morning, I was working housekeeping, so I was getting up really early in the mornings to make sure that the guest spaces were clean and tidy for the guest needs. And I was headed from my chalet down to the dining hall to get my coffee. And on the Ark, which is a little deck and gathering place outside the dining hall, I saw this scene of all these figurines, all these little, you know, the little green army men that they've got guns and walkie-talkies and they're in these like this battle scene. There's so many of them, and it made me stop because it's not something you see at Holden. We talk about peace and love and all of that stuff. You don't see violent scenes even acted out in figurines there. So I quickly kind of just shoved them all into a bag and put it in the registration office and went about my day. Well, the next, you know, a couple hours later, I came across another scene, similar, and then a third, and then a fourth, and these groups of little boys had brought all these army figures up to Holden, and they were just arranging them in these rather violent ways, and so we had a problem on our hands. There were so many of these little army men, and we meant to send them on their way back down the village when the boys left, but we were holding on to them in the registration office until we could find their owners. So the next day rolls around, and we've got bags and bags of these little army figures that were supposed to be tucked away in the registration office. And I go about my daily routine, and I walk to the dining hall, and I see a different scene on the Ark. And someone had gotten into the registration office. It's a locked office, but much like many churches, you know, everyone has a key to the building. And they had repositioned the little army men, and they had taken off their weapons, and instead of their weapons, they were holding up little signs of love, that you know, God loves you, and Jesus loves you, and then the little guys with the walkie-talkies had little bubbles over their heads talking about, you know, all these really wonderful, compassionate moments, and so it was just really, it was not a large-scale compassion versus violence thing, but it was something that got us talking as a village on about these issues, and it was something that we still talk about to this day. It was a small step against violence, but a huge step for our tiny little village. And love, like real and true neighbor love, the agape kind, that's the love of relationship, which is rooted in action for justice and peace, and that's what we're called to live into this compassion, and to see the violence in the world and to reflect God's compassion back out to the people. Neighbor love is taking the high road and setting a good example. It's countercultural in a world of revenge and Twitter rants, much like it was in the ancient world with revenge laws. Neighbor love is radical resistance, and Jesus tells us today that love, not revenge, brings us closer to understanding God's kingdom. We do not live in a world where pacifism is respected or modeled by those in power. We do, however, have a playbook for a theology of nonviolence, which has the ability to transform the world. Love as radical resistance to all of the violence perpetuated and sustained in this world has the power to transform and set us free from the chains of oppression. And it's because of God's love for us that it's made possible. Because we're not made holy and in God's image to hate. That's not what God or God's kingdom's about. we were made holy and in God's image to love. And that's something that I hope we can all get on board with, regardless of personal feelings about the Sermon on the Mount. So I invite you to maybe take a piece of the text with you. Maybe don't rip it out of the Pew Bibles. Pastor Brian wouldn't like that so much, but there are plenty of the copies from the earlier service if you'd like a piece of the text to take with you, or make a copy of it. And when you feel angry at someone, or sad, or upset at something that you've read or seen, pull the text out and remember that you are a beloved child of God, no matter who you are, and that we're called to reflect that love back out into the world, no matter how hard it might be. So with that, I invite you to pray with me. Good and gracious God, we thank you for loving us so much and giving us the example of Jesus. Let us work as radical lovers in this world to embrace compassion and to reflect that back out to all we encounter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.